Tiki, by the way, out today. He's back tomorrow. And Tiki had a pretty good, well thought out reason for why it's dead. And that is travel. Travel's just, it's so much easier now.
Definitely.
You know, they go on a plane. It's nice. It's beautiful. Hotel's nice and beautiful. It's not like the old days. You get on a bus or the planes aren't as nice or the hotels aren't as nice. And so I was like, ah, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe the medicine, maybe just the way guys recover. Maybe it's that. You know, we all have theories on why. Boomer had an interesting one this morning, which is maybe the Knicks are sick and tired of all the damn celebrities at home, and they want to get away from that. Now, I disagree with Boomer, but it's creative. I haven't heard that one yet.
So what does he think? Because Tracy Morgan was there again, they blew that game one?
Yeah, they're sick of Timothy Chalamet and all the celebrities that show up at Madison Square Garden.
Ben Stiller?
Yeah. Ben Stiller, it's your fault.
Fat Joe?
Well, we know it's Fat Joe's fault. So I haven't heard that one, but look, the one thing none of us can deny is the one thing we all have to admit. Home court advantage in the NBA is dead. It just doesn't matter anymore. So whether it's Boomer's theory on celebrities or Tiki's theory on travel or my theory on just three-point shooting, it doesn't matter. The point is, it don't mean anything anymore. And that's why going into tonight's game, it's not about, well, game five's at the Garden, game six is on the road. It's about you're down 3-1 if you lose. It's 2-2 if you win. Like, it's just the simple math of it. It's not about where the games are played, because I think the Knicks have shown you they can win anywhere. And I think they've also shown you that playing at Madison Square Garden does not make them a mortal lock.
Yeah. All I would say is put a pin in that argument. If they do make the NBA Finals, I think they're going to have a tough time winning games in Oklahoma City. I think that they have really established.
Why? Because they're loud?
There's something about that environment there. Even when the Thunder were like in those middle years, they were always very tough at Oklahoma City.
You know what it is with the Thunder? The Thunder are the best team remaining. They're a very good basketball team. They're the odds-on favorites to win an NBA championship. I think they will win an NBA championship. And that's really what it comes down to. They're tough to beat. You could put them on the moon, and they're tough to beat. So
yeah,
I just don't think it necessarily matters as much. And the data's backed that up. We'll put Karl Anthony Towns to the dog test coming up in 5 short minutes. But let's get back to some of your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Mike is calling from New Jersey. How are you, Mike?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I've been trying to get to you guys. You're talking about these weddings with a bad Nick connection. I have the pinnacle. June 17, 1994. Two of my friends get married. Beautiful day. Nick game. The bride is crying. They're trying to get everyone back into the ballroom because all the guys are out there, especially guys, you know, with money on the game and whatnot.
I get you.
But then the white Bronco with Orenthal Jane Simpson
had everything
goes
that night,
down
yeah.
the freeway. It was, oh my God.
Yeah, that's where the poor wife and husband, you lose everybody. Because not only are you competing with Game 5 of the NBA Finals, you're competing with a news story we still talk about all these years later, which is the O.J. Simpson white Bronco chase. By the way, I've been binging 90210. I've told you that for a while. Totally forgot that they mocked that with a Colin. Colin was a character who dated Kelly for one season, and he had a big drug problem, cocaine issue. Yeah, they did a white Bronco car chase with Colin as well.
A lot of shows did.
A lot of shows decided to mock it by doing it.
That was a big deal. I don't remember. Why do I not think that was a weekend? I thought that was a Thursday night.
I thought it was a Friday night.
Oh, maybe it was a Friday night. Okay.
I could be wrong about that. I was 10 years old at the time.
In my mind, I always thought it was a Thursday night, but I'm probably wrong.
How old were you on that?
If
I was 10, what were you, like 6?
7 or 8.
Yeah, do you remember that at all?
I do. So, I say this all the time. 94 is what made me a sports fan. I remember everything. The Rangers winning the cup. I was locked in. My dad made me stay up every night. And the Knicks being simultaneously in the run. Yeah, now, did I understand the impact of O.J. Simpson? But I knew it was a pretty big freaking deal.
You know what? I'll never forget about that. And this is a few days before the Bronco chase. It was the end of 5th grade for me. So, I'm graduating elementary school. And we were having, like, a big celebration at North Woodmere Park, where all the kids would get to, like, run around and play. And so I was there, I was playing, and there were three moms that were talking to each other. And I overheard their conversation. And this is before it was pinned on OJ. And she's like, oh, can't wait to go home and find out if OJ murdered his wife. And I'm like, what?
Jeez.
I was like, what? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
And it hit me because, look, I may have been 9. I knew who OJ was and who OJ Simpson was. I mean, that's an icon. And so I'm like, OJ murdered his wife? Is that even like a real story? And I'm telling you, it was in the fermentation of the story. Like, it was the beginning. Fermentation is when you're planting
something. I'm aware. It's about what fermenting is.
And then when I got home, it like became a bigger deal. And then, boom, it exploded. And it was the biggest story for like 2 years.
The amount of lies we would have been told on Twitter leading up to that, too.
Can you imagine?
My God.
The Twitter universe during the OJ chase and then trial would have been nuts. Let's go to Andrew in Queens. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to piggyback off of the holiday weekend weddings.
Yes.
I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather go to a Saturday night wedding than a Sunday night wedding.
Agree.
Because that ruins your entire holiday weekend.
I agree. This is where I think Evan is wrong, Andrew.
I don't mind it as much, though, because you still have Friday night, you still have all day Saturday, yeah. And then the wedding Sunday, and but then you got Monday as a recovery day.
You have to realize, for most people, put them in that consciousness. You always usually have Friday night and you have Saturday on any given weekend. The beauty of Memorial Day and Labor Day is the Sunday doesn't become the Sunday scaries. If you throw a wedding into that equation, I'm thinking to myself, now I've spent Friday and Saturday with the thought, remember we have this wedding Sunday, I'd rather get it out of the way early and then have more of the weekend to recover.
If you missed the beginning of our wedding discussion, you can rewind on the Odyssey app to about 3:30. All right, let's get to something very, very important. Yeah. I want to take you back to a date that was about 7 months ago, because everything said here is on record, it's important, and we hold everybody accountable for what they say, good, bad, stupid, and different. I want to take you back to September 30th, 2024, here on Evan and Tiki.
Ooh.
The New York Knicks, a few days earlier, had made a surprise trade. They had acquired Karl Anthony Towns from the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange, of course, for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. The weekend obviously occurs. It was a big weekend here in New York baseball and New York football, because not only did you have the Mets kind of battling out for a wild card spot, setting up the Monday doubleheader against the Braves,
okay,
but you also had the New York Jets losing a brutal game to the Denver Broncos. I completely forgot what the Giants did. Maybe Sean remembers.
Week four? I already forgot.
That's all you need to know.
No, they won, right?
Did they?
Okay. No, they beat Cleveland in week 3. They lost to Dallas Thursday Night Football.
All right, so that's why we don't remember, because okay, it wasn't a part of the weekend. So we come on the air Monday. It was a huge show that we did because the Mets were playing that doubleheader, so we did kind of a live watch party. But we needed to get Tommy's opinion on the Cat trade as the head of the Dude Dog Damage Committee.
We did that during the Mets-Braves game?
We had to squeeze it in. I think it was very quick. Like, we didn't do a lot of it.
Wow.
But that story kind of got buried a little bit. Yeah. It was on a Friday night. You had a whole weekend. You had football. You had baseball. Like, it was sort of buried. So we prioritized, all right, Tommy, what do you think of the trade? I want to take everybody back to what Tommy Lugauer said all the way back on September 30th, 2024 on Evan and Tiki on what he said about Karl Anthony Towns.
Let's start with this. He is a cat that's going to have to earn the right to be a dog. I will not give him his dude and dog status. He's going to have to earn it.
Mm. Tommy Lugauer, we are sitting here on May 27th, just a few hours away before Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The story has still not fully been written, but did Karl Anthony Towns earn, your words not mine, his dog status?
Much like my relationship statuses on Facebook back in the day, it's complicated. So on one end, the body language, the way he, you know, the wacky inflatable tube men? Do you guys know that?
Yeah,
Bailey used to come out to it, you know, kind of like this.
Yeah.
That's like him driving to the basket. So that part of it is still a little bit not dog-like. The playing with fouls and not going strong when you have a smaller defender on you, not dog-like. However, what is dog-like? When the king of New York, and he's still the king of New York, is on the bench in foul trouble, when the backs are against the wall, when the, even though I didn't feel this way, even if they went down 3-0, I'm sure every Knick fan out there would have felt this way, season would have been over if they lost game 3. For him to step up in that moment, and I believe this about athletes, they hear the criticism. Even if they're not, you know, hearing it or they're not listening to Sports Talk Radio, one of their cronies tell them or they get wind of it. So he understands the criticism that's followed his career in Minnesota and now in New York. He stepped up when we and the team needed him the most. So as I do my dog analysis on this, Cat has graduated to a dog.
Dog!
Wow. Well, there's the kiss of death.
I'm glad you said that, because you are the guy who had already anointed, all right, Mikal Bridges is worth every draft pick that was given up. And that was earlier in this postseason run.
Right.
Well, things can change.
What changed? They're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
If you lose in five, or as we were sitting there Sunday night, if you had gotten swept, like, your opinion on players will change based on the end result, not what you're feeling like in the middle of the roller coaster ride. Because we're in the middle of this insane New York Knicks roller coaster ride that has us take really big ups and then really big downs, and then we turn left, then we turn right, then we're upside down, and then we puke on ourselves.
I'm not going to say there won't be people that do this, but I feel like, as a fan, you should bookmark that game. And if bad things happen here in this series or in the finals, you can't be calling for, like, Giannis or to trade Cat. Like, he earned his stripes in this game. I know you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be disappointed. But you can't, like, not remember these moments. They count. They matter.
They count, and he saved their season.
Yes.
Like, let's just be honest. Karl Anthony Towns, no matter what you think of him, no matter how much criticism you've given him, mostly fair, he saved the New York Knicks season by what he did in Game 3. But if tonight he no-shows, and tonight he gets in a foul trouble, and tonight he's non-impactful, and tonight he's a liability defensively, and now you're down 3-1. You know, Tommy, as well as I do, there will be many Knicks fans who say, I don't want this guy on my team, get rid of him. You know that.
No, 100%, but that we went back to this earlier where people are burying the Knicks at the second quarter at halftime. Let the series and everything play out. I understand, especially us, we have to give opinions, or as a fan, you get crazy or fanatic. Like, every little thing that happens, you have to feel like you have to react to it. Let's just see how things play out.
I want you to do me a favor. If you don't want to do it, I'll do it. But I figured you're the best person to do it. Can you put out a Twitter poll that asks your fellow Knicks fans, has Karl Anthony Towns earned his dogness?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
By the way, another thing that I think Knicks fans or people didn't realize.
Do you remember saying that, by the way, on the radio September 30th?
No, I don't remember what I said on the radio 2 days ago. There were Knicks fans that didn't realize his last name is Towns and his first name is Karl Anthony.
What?
Because somebody on the TV was like, oh, Karl Towns. And they're like, oh, I thought his last name was Anthony Towns.
No, you the hyphen's between Karl and Anthony.
I know where the hyphen is. I'm just saying there were people on the internet that thought it was Karl Anthony was not his first name. Anthony Towns was his last name.
So his first name, like his birth certificate, says Karl Anthony as his first name?
I always thought it was a middle name.
Well, because it says dash.
Well, what does a dash do? I thought the dash
connects the two.
Always looked at the dash as some women don't want to give up their last name, so they do the dash and then the last name of their husband. So it's like, oh, okay.
His father's name is Karl Towns Sr. I don't know what the Towns actually is, by the way. I have no idea.
Like,
is the Towns a middle name, or is his actual name Karl Anthony? No, I have no idea. I've been watching this guy for a decade.
You mean the Anthony.
What did I just say?
The Towns. The Towns
is clearly his last name. Yeah. Is the Anthony Karl Anthony, like on his birth certificate? Like, my wife's name, her first name is Sylvia Del Carmen. That's her first name. But a lot of people just call her Sylvia, right? But I think Tommy calls her Sylvia. Like, hey, Sylvia. But that's her name. So is that the same situation where his first name is Karl Anthony, or is that just the middle name he likes to use? I've watched this guy play basketball for a decade. I have no idea.
It's got to be a first name. Nobody hyphens into their middle name. Nobody. That's not how this works.
So the hyphen means it's his first name.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's the first name. I think it's Karl Anthony as his first name. That makes the most sense.
But you can still call someone Karl Towns, just like someone would call my wife Sylvia. That's not her full first name, but that's her first name.
I'm going to go out.
Does that make sense?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say there was a split in the naming household there on one wanted Karl, one wanted Anthony, and they said, how about we put them together?
Are you serious?
Well, how doesn't that make the most plausible sense?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I want everyone to imagine this for a second. Okay? You have your first kid. Okay. You and your wife or you and your husband disagree on the name, and your agreement was, we'll just do both. Okay, like, you get that, I get this, and we just combine it together.
Well, doesn't it flow combined? Karl Anthony flows.
Like, I'm thinking about it. My wife, can I reveal, like, some of the names? Nah, I don't want to do that to my sons, but I know one of the names she preferred that I vetoed because I said, nope, first name of a guy on the Mets who stinks. I don't want that to be my son's first name. But if I had settled in and given her that name, and then I took a name, and we just combined it.
Yeah.
Like, just think of a Met I like and a Met I dislike, and that was the kid's name. So let's go with, I love Jacob DeGrom.
Okay.
And I couldn't stand Lucas Duda. So imagine, I couldn't stand him. He looked like Eeyore. He just ticked me off.
Jacob
Lucas.
I like that, though. That flows.
That's kind of a good first name.
I think we just uncovered something about naming
kids. Have we uncovered something?
Yeah.
This is the compromise with your wife or husband. We both pick a name, and we just combine it.
Plus, it's like a monarch. You're like the Sir Robbie... You know, DeGrom of Wellington.
Yeah.
You sound like you're back in the day.
You do sound pretty clever. Like, I know that my parents initially wanted to name me Michael. That was going to be my name. I was going to be Michael Roberts.
You look like a Michael.
Actually. I do. I kind of. And what happened was, or at least as the story goes, they were at the beach, and my mom and dad heard a ton of kids named Michael, and they got scared off. God, it's just going to be terrible. We're going to lose our kid. We're going to
throw sand on everyone.
Yeah. There was like 100 Michaels, and they were all causing havoc. So then they named me Evan because they watched a movie, and the director of the movie was a fellow by the name of Robert Evans. Bang!
Oh, wow, that's a good story.
You like that story?
I like it.
So if they had said, but we still like Michael,
yeah,
they could have gone with Evan Michael.
Right.
And that would have been my name. Like, yeah, I'm Evan Michael.
All while their toes were in the kernels of sand.
Thank you for that, Rosie. Yes.
Dynamite dropping.
Dynamite dropping.
One more time, what is that poll you wanted me to put out there, Evan?
The poll is going to say, has Karl Anthony Towns earned his dogness?
Got it.
Can you play the clip one more time? I just want to hear what Tommy said all the way back on September 30th in reaction to the trade in which they acquired Karl Anthony Towns.
And just make sure, Tommy, you spell dogness D-A-W-G-N-E-S-S.
Yeah, I think you got to do that. You got to go with the dogness, like dogness.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, let's hear the clip one more time.
Let's start with this. He is a cat that's going to have to earn the right to be a dog. I will not give him his dude and dog status. He's going to have to earn it.
He actually never uses the word dogness, so dog status. You want to go with dog status?
Yes.
Either way, let us know the results. Let's see if the people agree with Tommy Lugauer that Karl Anthony Towns, after his Game 3 performance, has already earned his dog status. Let's go to Al calling from Washington Heights. How are you, Al?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
Long time no caller. I'm just happy as a Knicks fan. I was happy that the Knicks was able to come back. But as a gambler, I was also happy that I was able to put $200. I called the Knicks down plus $500 in FanDuel, so that I got some money back.
That's kind of
good. But let's go Mets. I'm hoping that we win tonight's game. We back on track and we're gonna win this series. But it's got to start tonight, babe. We can't be down. We got to win tonight.
I understand. I don't think the Knicks are dead if they go down 3-1 by any stretch. I remember saying that on Friday before we went away from Memorial Day weekend. There was a lot of this over talk about, hey, if they lose game 2, they're done.
Right.
And I always find that to be crap. Like, as we just talked about recently, home court advantage is dead in this sport. I think you can overcome that. And so all you're talking about is just winning 4 games in a row or 4 games out of 5. Like, it's not that complicated. It can happen. And I think the Knicks are capable of it. And I kind of look at tonight the same way. Obviously, no one's going to be in a good mood tomorrow if the Knicks are down 3-1. But do I think this team is capable of winning 3 consecutive games against the Indiana Pacers? Absolutely.
I completely agree. Especially, we talked about the cockroach thing earlier. If they go to a home crowd that'll be ravenous down 3-1, the Knicks fans will believe that day. 3-2, you've seen how many of these series? The pressure is on every single one of these games.
We've questioned
the Knicks ahead with the Celtics on collapse.
It's the old saying that Kevin Millar had, don't let us get one.
Yep.
And I know that bothers you hearing that because it's a bad example from 2004.
I've made my peace, Chrissy.
Chrissy who?
It's a saying from The Sopranos.
Oh, I thought there was somebody on the Red Sox he was referring to.
Made my peace.
Who's Chrissy? Yeah, I think this team is capable of coming back from a 3-1 deficit. It doesn't mean tonight doesn't matter. They all matter. Look, all the playoff games matter. I just hate hearing must win, must win. The only ones besides elimination games that feel like must wins are the 3-0 deficits because we still haven't seen a team come back from it.
So is it a can't lose then? Are we ready to declare it a can't lose for the Knicks?
No.
So it's not a can't lose.
It's not a can't lose.
Okay.
Because if they lose, they can come back from 3-1 down.
So if it's not a must win or a can't lose, what is tonight?
An important playoff game.
That's it?
Yes.
What about a gotta have it?
What do you have to? Why do we have to label it like that?
Well, it's must win, can't lose, or gotta have it if you have to pick one of the three.
The New York Knicks have played, let me do the math real quick, 15 postseason games during this run. Okay? 15 of them. They're all important. They all matter. It doesn't mean like this is a can't lose game. It's an important game. Sure. You don't want to be down 3-1.
Okay.
You don't want to be a loss away from extinction. Of course.
I think it's a can't lose.
What does that even mean?
It means you can't lose this game or you're out of room for error.
Or what?
You're out of room for error.
Okay. There's less margin for error.
Yeah. That's why it's a can't lose and not a must win.
I'm confused by it. Do you know what that means, Tommy?
No. Either way, it's a no biggie for me. I feel like ordering ice cream or something. Gotta have it. No biggie.
I agree with you. Are you going to Game 5, by the way?
I will be in the building tonight. Not in Indiana, of course, but I will be at Madison Square Garden for the watch party.
Well, that's tonight for the watch party, and you got to let us know how that goes, because that does feel like a pretty cool experience. But what about Game 5? We now know there will definitely be a Game 5 Thursday night at Madison Square Garden. Are you going?
Only one person knows that answer, and I'm looking right at him.
I'm not taking you. You're out.
Well, I believe in positive Tommy.
I am going to the game. That is official. That is done. Wife approval. Done. But I am not taking you.
Okay, so plan B. Going to have to think of something else. No biggie.
I'm just curious if you are there, because if you are there and you happen to go, watch how good of a guy I am.
Okay.
I would buy you a drink. I would meet up with you a little bit before the game, after our show.
Wow.
And I would absolutely get you a beer.
I will work on that. So if anybody's listening in the audience, they would like to take me, you could email the Rico B Gmail, or you could start following me at Tommy Lugauer, Lugauer. I'm a good time. I'm a good date.
And how many, you will lead them.
And you will lead. How many playoff games have you been to now?
Are we counting tonight? Does that count?
No, party? In the building, okay. For an actual postseason game.
That would be three.
And what is your record?
Not good.
What is your record?
1-2.
That's not good. Yeah. I mean, why would somebody take you knowing that you're the kiss of death?
Well, listen, sometimes positive...
You know what? Tonight does count.
Does tonight count? Okay.
Positive Tommy's like Novocaine. Just give it time. It always works. That's what I would say. It's 1-2 now, but it'll get better.
I will tell you, if the Knicks lose tonight, I think I'm taking a non-Knicks fan to Game 5.
No.
Why? Is that wrong?
So it's like the coalition, the coronation here kind of thing?
Not really. So if it's 2-2, which means the Knicks win tonight, I'm going to bring a Knicks fan. I think that there is a Knicks fan that deserves it that I will take to the game with me. We'll have a good time. If the Knicks are down 3-1, I'm actually going to take a non-Knicks fan.
Wow.
So that someone could potentially enjoy the extinction of the New York Knicks and not have a Knicks fan have to suffer that. Because I don't think you want to be in the building if your season ends. That would be a biggie.
Very biggie.
Yeah. But who's this person you're going
to
bring?
No, I haven't decided yet. No, but I'm very excited to go. I haven't been to a Knicks home playoff game yet during this run. And I have decided from here on out my season tickets are going to good use. Me.
And you should treat yourself. As a season ticket holder, you've put in all the hard work. You should reap the benefits.
Thank you. I'm actually thinking of leaving the seat empty so I have more leg room.
Could you imagine? Tommy, now I would even have to step in on your behalf. If he leaves the seat empty and doesn't cash in, that's insulting.
You know, I was criticized by those when I had that video where I just cursed Evan out. This is part of it. I mean, it can be a little bit of an older brother jerk to me, 2 years old.
I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I promise you. But if you go to the game, I will buy you a drink. I promise.
I would love to go to the game. And I'd love even more if somebody would pay for me and bring me.
Hey, you just asked the audience. I'm sure there'll be somebody in the audience that would love to take you to a game that cost them $1,200 a ticket.
There has to be, right?
There has to be. I mean, why wouldn't someone just call up and say, Tommy, I'd love to drop $2,000 on you to take you to a Knicks game so you can then record a video basically saying, it wasn't enough, I need more!
Right, yeah.
Who wouldn't want that?
What appealing. How appealing.
Let's go to Derek in Wanacue. How are you, Derek?
How's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
I was listening to the Carl Anthony story, and I was actually funny because, mind you, I was born in 89, but my parents had a disagreement over naming me. My mother wanted to name me Derek after Derek Thomas, and my father wanted to name me Michael. So in spite, my middle name is now Michaels for all the Michaels in the world.
That's funny.
Oh, wow. Spite middle.
The problem with the middle name is a loss. Like, if your consolation prize is, I wanted to name my daughter Shelley, but my wife disagreed, and that's her middle name, that means you took an L.
Right.
Because the middle name is forgotten about. No one cares about the middle name.
It's an annoyance. Put your middle suffix in.
And you barely do it sometimes.
Yeah, silly.
Like, put it this way. Sean, I know you. I like you. We've worked on the same program now for a couple of years, and I've known you for a decade.
Uh-huh.
You could give me 5 guesses. I wouldn't know your middle name.
You would.
Would I?
Yeah.
Michael.
No.
Oh, I only guessed it because it's mine.
No.
John.
No, you're not thinking.
Okay, I think of a giant. Sims. Hold on. Don't tell me.
Come on, man.
Connerly.
Come on.
Sherman. I'm naming giant legends, by the way.
Think about when I was born, right after the 86 Super Bowl.
Okay.
My first name's Sean after Sean Landetta.
Okay. Just tell me now. Now I'm curious.
Taylor.
Oh, what? After LT?
My original name was supposed to be Lawrence Taylor Morash. My grandma stepped in. Her words, apparently not mine. You're not naming my first grandkid after a crackhead, was what you said. Then my dad pivoted to Phil. My mom stepped in and said, Phil's a terrible name. I was going to be Phil Taylor. And then we settled on the punter. And
so
then
you really got named after the punter, and then your middle name is Taylor after LT.
And then my mom said, we'll name him after the punter, but we got to change the spelling up.
Wow. By the way, this just confirms my opinion on the middle name. The middle name means nothing.
It does.
Because nobody
nothing.
Even knows that your middle name is after Lawrence Taylor, which right. is now your daughter's name.
Right.
So your daughter is either named after your middle name yeah. or Lawrence Taylor.
My wife loved the idea that it was my middle name and naming her after that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
On the name thing, it is Carl Anthony as his first name. I have that confirmed from
so
an article.
So we have confirmed that it is
yeah, from an article from 2014. Carl Anthony. Anthony is not his middle name. It's part of his first name.
Now, did they explain why was it a negotiation?
According to this, and this was from Jerry Carino, New Jersey Hoops Haven, and I'll give him credit, it's a combination of names from the family.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing then. Because a lot of people are named after people in your family, whether yeah. it's the first letter or the actual name.
Oh, the middle name is whoever's died, line them up, let's go.
Right, and then no one remembers it. But if you get into the first name, then you're remembered forever. Then your name sticks, like Carl Anthony. But I tell you, he has created a trend. Like, if you right now, and I'm sure there are many listeners who have a pregnant wife, or maybe you are pregnant, and you are listening to us right now, and you have not decided on a name, and you're fighting about a name, this is the answer.
That's it. Combo.
It's a combo.
Combo.
Back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019, and New York Met fans generally love David Cone until Sunday night. Did David Cone cross the line with something he said that deeply offended Met fans? We'll get to it coming up. Plus, big news for the Indiana Pacers, a return for a game four that may change this series. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires, and they honor all manufacturers' rebates. They even honor competitors' rebates. With more than 100 stores from Connecticut to New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires, why go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices, Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
If you don't have plans yet tonight, I have them for you. WFAN and Corona are throwing a watch party tonight as New York takes on Indiana for Game 4 of the Conference Championship. Join New York basketball legend Larry Johnson at Blue Haven South on Fulton Street in New York City. Corona will be flowing all game long with specials and swag for fans. Just like LJ was on the hardwood, Corona is always smooth, always refreshing, and goes perfectly watching a game. That's Game 4 tonight at Blue Haven South on Fulton Street. Grab a bucket and watch New York get buckets with Corona and WFAN. Please drink responsibly.
No lead is safe.
They were down two games to none, losing both at home, but go on the road, down by 20, and win, coming from behind, 106-100.
As the Knicks clawed their way back into the Eastern Conference Finals, led by a cat fourth quarter performance for the ages in Sunday's Game 3.
Towns 3.
The road has been kind to both squads.
I want to take you back to Sunday night. Sunday night was a very eventful night. We've talked a lot about the Knicks' comeback on Sunday night to make it a 2-1 series against the Indiana Pacers. But while that was going on, the Mets were wrapping up their three-game series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Very eventful weekend. Mets ended up winning 2 out of 3. They lost that brutal game on Friday, came back and won Saturday, and they ended up winning on Sunday. But in the midst of Sunday's game, a comment was made on ESPN. And as you know, we as New Yorkers do not like national broadcasts. And we don't like national broadcasts because they don't pay attention. They don't know what the hell is going on. And unfortunately, the Met fan, and Yankee fans, you'll deal with this too, because you're going to be on Sunday Night Baseball next week. Congratulations. The Met fan had to deal with a national broadcast Friday, Apple TV Plus, a national broadcast Saturday, Fox. I don't actually mind AJ Pierzynski, but that's another story. And then a national broadcast on Sunday. And you knew ESPN would say something to piss you off. What surprised me was the guy who said it is David Cone, who I adore.
Former Met.
I love David Cone. Former Met, does a great job on the Yes Network to win the Yankees. Like, I love David Cone.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes even the people I love don't F up.
Okay.
Listen to David Cone waxing poetic about the big crowd at Citi Field on Sunday night, and listen to how he described it.
One thing we see with the Dodgers nowadays, they're a traveling show.
It's fair.
There's not a seat available here tonight. It's a packed house to come see the Dodgers.
A packed house to come see the Dodgers?
He's not wrong.
What do you mean he's not wrong?
Well, look.
He's not wrong. The Mets are jamming that building up every single night. Steve Cohen demanded it. He said, show up. Yesterday, they played the White Sox. They suck. 39,938.
Evan, you're a season ticket
holder. They packed 35,000 for the Pirates when they played the Cubs. You ready? 41, 41, and 41. Don't tell me they're packing the house to play the Dodgers. That's crap. And David, you know I love you, but this was a dumb comment.
I think it's semi out of context. I think we all understand what he means. Have the Mets done a much better job drawing this year than they did last year? Yes, and I certainly hope they would off of the NLCS and adding Juan Soto. Evan, you're a season ticket holder.
Yes.
Were the tickets more versus the Dodgers this weekend than versus other?
Price-wise?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, why is that?
Because the Dodgers are the defending world champions.
And they're a traveling circus. In that ballpark this weekend, and it wasn't overwhelming, but it was notable when you scanned, at least I saw it on TV, plenty more Ohtani in Dodgers jerseys.
Sure, they were Dodger fans. No one's denying that.
Sure, if that was a regular Sunday and it was the Mets and Reds, would they have had a good crowd with good weather? I'm sure they would have. But you can't say that the Dodgers aren't a traveling circus, and a lot of people in that building weren't there to see the Dodgers.
In the previous weekend that the Mets played at home, so not the one at Yankee Stadium the weekend before that, they played a three-game series against the Chicago Cubs. What have I told you that if you combine the three crowds of the Cubs series and you showed it against the three crowds of the Dodgers series, what have I told you more people attended the Cubs series? What would you say?
Our Cubs, another national brand, wouldn't
shock me. Oh, stop it. See, you're just looking to move the
goalpost. No, I'm not looking to move
David
the goalpost.
David was wrong, and I like David. He was wrong.
You don't think a bunch of people went there this weekend because they were playing the Dodgers?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, a few people did, but the Mets are drawing huge crowds. Don't tell me the place is filled to watch the Dodgers. But they're not there to watch the Dodgers. They're there to watch the Mets. They're there to watch a baseball team that got to the NLCS last year. They've been drawing all season long.
They have.
And here's the problem, David, because David may be listening. It's not really about you. You made the dumb comment, so I don't like the dumb comment, but you're going to unfortunately be the conduit to the national media that takes turns saying everything about the Dodgers that makes you humanly sick. I'm sick of it. We get it. They're great. They won the World Series. Yippity-doo-dah. Everything is about the Dodgers. The Dodgers, the Dodgers, the Dodgers. And don't insult us by saying the only reason Citi Field was packed is because they played the Dodgers. It's crap. I can sit here and bore you with evidence that it's not true.
All right.
So I'm not even really mad at David Cohen. He's the conduit to my anger at the national media that takes turns giving back massages to everybody from Shohei Ohtani to Mookie Betts to the stupid logo on the front of their chest. I hate the Dodgers. I hate them. They are now number one. Congratulations. This has never happened before. You're number one on my hate list. I hate you. I can't stand you. I want you to go down in flames. And Ohtani doesn't even pitch, but he throws batting practice, and we freak out. The guy hasn't pitched in a major league game in 2 years. Stop acting like he's a unicorn. Go pitch, and then we'll act like he's a unicorn. Go pitch. He hasn't pitched in 2 years, and we got to hear about it constantly. I hate them. And by hate, you know what I mean. Sports hate.
Sports hate them.
Sports hate them.
I do too, so I'm not going to fight that, but I think two things could be separate. You could credit Met fans for filling the ballpark, but also acknowledge that this past weekend, there was a higher, push for people who wanted to go see the Dodgers play this weekend. Evan, you have to be honest about this, because I don't know.
Go ahead.
You're a season ticket holder to the New York Mets.
Yes.
Okay? There are some years you take baths, some years you don't.
Mm-hmm.
This past weekend, you said you were up visiting your parents. I don't think you made it to one game until yesterday with the White Sox.
I did not go to any of the Met Dodger games.
Which I'm going
to assume. That's why I'm going to the White Sox back-to-back.
I'm going to assume.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you sold all three games.
Correct.
Okay. Did you find yourself making more money than you usually do?
I did as well as I did on the Cubs because I couldn't go to two of the three Chicago games.
Okay.
I did basically the same. Now, to be fair, the prices are higher for the Dodgers.
All right.
So I'm working from a place, all of us are season ticket holders, where to make money, you got to sell it for even more. But I did very well on the Cubs. I did very well on the Dodgers. And here's what I'm going to counter with. Because if your point is, well, the prices are higher and you made money, so that's proof. No. They played the Dodgers in the NLCS last year.
Uh-huh.
So to Met fans, it's about, hey, we get to see an NLCS rematch.
Sure.
Sometimes you go not because you love the opponent, but because you want to beat the opponent.
I'm sure there's a lot of
I think that's
that.
Far different than, well, they're the traveling circus. We're there to see the Dodgers. No, we're there to see the Mets kick the Dodgers' ass. That's what we're there to see. And that's different.
Whether it's you want to see the Mets face the Dodgers again, who you saw in the NLCS, at its core, you still want to see the Dodgers. Like, that means more to you. So whether we're dressing this up as Mets fans wanting to beat the Dodgers or people want to go see Ohtani, who I'm sick of too, and all the Dodgers stuff, like at its core, David Cohn is right. Like people wanted to see the Dodgers, whether you wanted to see the Dodgers lose or not.
I disagree.
That mattered more for people.
I disagree with him. Okay. I mean, they get 40,000 basically every game. They had 40,000 yesterday to see the White Sox. And I don't think Memorial Day, 4 o'clock first pitch is like the greatest time to see a baseball game.
That's better than 9:38 first pitch.
No, it's definitely better in that regard.
How un-American.
But yeah, that was tough. That was tough because most people probably fell asleep before the Yankee game ended. Game didn't start till 9:38.
What a disgrace.
And you're all, you know, I had your hot dogs, you had your hamburgers, maybe you had a few beers, you're ready to go to sleep, you got to go to work the next day. That's a tough Yankee game.
I compare last night a lot to New Year's Day night, where it's the, you know, one of those nights where you're like, all right, I have had my fill, I got to go to bed. To play on what is should be a baseball holiday, Memorial Day, and yeah, I get it, 6:30 out in Anaheim. I don't care about Anaheim. These are the New York Yankees. They should not be playing a game at 9:30 at night on Memorial Day.
The problem is you cannot care about it all you want.
But it's a reason.
The start times are created by the home team, and the home team probably figures we'll do better on Memorial Day by having a 6:30 first pitch versus a 12 o'clock first pitch.
You know what? Baseball dressed up a week ago their whole rivalry weekend, which we had a lot of fun with the Subway Series. Here's a thought, baseball. Try to own Memorial Day weekend, and if that's what teams are going to want to do, let the West Coast team stay out West Coast and play that, and let's just get some fundamental good games here
and play
these games early.
I understand. I totally get it. That was a weird 9:38 first pitch. Like, even I was all excited. I sat down. I'm watching the Yankee game. I was going to score it, and I realized I can't stay up that late.
I got one eye open. It's Volpe's driving in runs yesterday.
It was tough, but you guys won.
We did.
And I do want to declare this on May 27th. Memorial Day Tuesday is a big day in sports because now the baseball season has had a certain amount of time where you can make declarative statements. So in honor of my dear friend, Sal Licata, because Sal and I spoke before the show, of course, coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll ask him if the NL East is over. And Sal informed me that he thinks today is the anniversary of the NL East is over.
Is it?
That's what he thinks. So I'd like to make a declaration.
Sure.
Not as controversial, certainly won't gain as much attention, and I don't want it. Ladies and gentlemen, on May 27th at 4:43 p.m. Eastern Time, the AL East is over!
What am I supposed to do here, fight you on that? Because I agree. I mean, the Rays are in second place. Now you don't have guts, though. You
go ahead.
Guts.
Go ahead.
I'm getting close, but you should really feel this way.
Go ahead.
The American League is kind of over.
Well, no, because the playoffs are a different animal. So the Yankees will go into the playoffs as probably the favorite.
I mean, Tiger Schmeichers. I mean,
by the way, you don't have to lecture me. I was the one who told you the Yankees were the team to beat all offseason.
I was wrong.
But the difference is it's all a different story come October. But yeah, sure. I do agree with you that I think the Yankees will go into the postseason as the clear team to beat, probably with home field advantage throughout. Yeah. But what I'd like to do for now, before we get to October, is the AL East is over.
The AL East is over, and David Cohn was right. We've established two things.
David Cohn is not right, but the AL East is over. In fact, I'll take it up a notch. All the AL East is over.
Wow.
I already have that ready to go. I'll take it a step further. As of right now, the New York Yankees lead in the American League East is 6 games. Okay? The Rays have won 6 in a row, by the way.
That's
how they've gotten to second place.
Ooh.
This will never, ever go below 4. The rest of the season.
Below 4?
Below 4. So I'm in a little bit of a pressure spot this week because if the Rays keep it up and the Yankees get tripped up out west, that could change. They all, of course, have the Dodgers coming up. But I think it will never get close is my point. I don't think the race will ever get close. Like, I don't want this to be, I said the AL East is over and the Yankees survive. No, the Yankees aren't going to survive. They're going to romp. And a part of it is the AL East sucks. I mean, that's a huge part of it, which I tried to explain to you before the season started. Sure. You didn't want to listen.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of it's also the Yankees. Like, they're 33-20. They've been awesome over the last 3 weeks. They've won 6 consecutive series. Like,
how good is this rotation, too? Ryan Yarbrough, what's up?
I know. Ryan Yarbrough delivers. They score a ton of runs. Like, there's a lot of reasons why the Yankees are really good, but they're really good. I mean, they're winning 62% of the games. I don't mean this as a slight just on their opponents, but their opponents are what make it over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
They're good.
They got 3 more, July 4th, 5th, 6th, and it's going to help too, you know?
The Met games?
Is that who they play? I forgot. I was looking at the automatic wins on the schedule.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm saying something nice about your team, and you're trying to turn it into a troll.
It is the Mets.
Yeah.
Good job. No, those are not automatic wins.
Thank you for that. I mean, you barely won 2 out of 3 last week. Let's calm down.
Oh, that's how we're doing this? We, by the way, we barely won a 2 out of 3 versus Colorado.
It's a good point.
It was a rough weekend.
Let's get to some of your calls. A lot on the table. David Cone pissing off Met fans. Obviously, Knick fans getting ready for game 4 tonight. Carl Anthony Towns' name. There's a lot of stuff going on. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Maria in Ozone Park. How are you, Maria?
Good, and you?
Excellent. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind today?
Okay, call Thomas Towns, I mean.
Yes.
Call, just change his name. Carl Towns is senior. He's an African-American, and his mother is Jacqueline Cruz, a native Dominican Republic, from Dominican Republic. They thought, mom and the sister thought the name was boring, so they decided to hyphenate the first name and add Anthony to it.
I like
That's
it.
One.
All right. That's pretty good, by the way, because it does make it more interesting. No offense to the name Carl or the name Anthony. It's a very traditional name. You go hyphen, right. It's kind of cool. It's badass. I agree.
Second, also, about David Cone, he's always saying something stupid, and he forgets he's a Met. He was at one time a Met fan. Come on.
I know. This isn't about David Cone. It's about him saying, well, look. David said a dumb comment. I'm going to call him out for that. But my anger isn't at him. My anger is at the way the Dodgers are talked about.
Yeah.
And it's just driving me nuts. Like, enough of it. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Hey, Chris.
Evan, thank you for that rant. I've been so dying to talk about this. As a Met fan, we had to endure that the travesty of a broadcast, the way they've fawned over the Dodgers, everything. By the way, ESPN. There's 8 really good baseball teams in MLB. It's not just the Dodgers. and David Cone should have known better because he lives in New York. He should know the pulse of New York. It was an insult. And to make matters worse, they do the dreaded interview with Lindor in the middle of the plane, right? I don't know if you heard this.
Yeah, interview. I heard it.
Carl Ravich in all of his great, glory, they bring on Lindor's wife. Now, I love Lindor. I love his family. He's a phenomenal role model. And this question to Lindor in the middle of the game is, what's more difficult, turning the double play or changing diapers?
I know.
I mean, come on.
I'll answer that for him. I, 2 kids, okay, and they're both out of diapers, luckily. And we're done. Like, there won't be any more diapers changed until I'm a grandpa, hopefully someday, a long time from now. I have never conquered the changing of the diapers.
Are you serious?
So complex. Yeah, to the point where I convinced my wife, let's just do the pull-ups. The pull-ups are the best ones. Where you could just, stick their legs in, boom, call it a day.
Diapers are so easy.
No, they're not. Don't lie
it's
to the audience.
It's 2 flaps that stick. You just go like this, boom. It sticks off.
No. Then it's crooked. It doesn't fit. And their butt is hanging out. And the poo goes everywhere. Trust me. It is not. Don't make it see. You're pretending to the audience.
I'm not. I've had a lot of problems as a parent. Changing diapers was one I succeeded at. Maybe because I probably had to do it for myself plenty of times. But I found it very easy.
I give Lindor credit. Not only is he being interviewed about baseball while he's playing baseball, which is not easy because you're being interviewed, you're trying to play. Now his wife is talking to him. So now you got your wife talking to you.
Imagine that. You don't even
get trying to do your job. Like, we should all try that around here. We should just pop our wives on while we're trying to make an important sports point and see how that goes.
Won't go well for me. Right now.
I want Tommy to do like just a rant about how their dude's dogs and damage. And his wife's like, did you leave the toilet seat open at home?
Exactly.
How would that rant go? Would it just end in the middle of it? Like, how would you be able to do your job while that's happening?
So I'd be like, they're dudes, they're dogs, we're going to do that. Hold on a second, let's go to blah, blah, blah out there in Kew Gardens. And she'd be like, well, why'd you leave the toilet seat up? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And I'd be like, shut up, I'm trying to make a point.
Yeah, don't scream shut up.
What do you mean?
About to your wife on a national stage like this radio show. Because it's disrespectful. You're going to tell your wife. You tell your wife to shut up. Do you really?
No, but if I told her.
Have you ever told your wife to shut up?
I've heard him say pipe down toots.
You've done pipe down toots?
Take a lap, honey. No, but she's not my wife. She's a caller to the station at that point.
No! Francisco Lindor wasn't talking to a random Met fan. He was talking to his wife.
No, but
Katia.
No.
They don't get to yell at us at work and we can't say pipe down. No way.
Well, did Francisco Lindor say that? He was respectful to his wonderful wife.
Because he knew he would have got crushed. But in reality, we all would have had his back and been like, hey, I mean, can she stop? Can she lay off you?
I'll tell you right now. If my wife was on bickering at me, I would not be telling her to shut up.
I'd hear about it for the next 6 months.
Well, you also want to make sure you can go to back-to-back Met White Sox games. So, of course you wouldn't.
I mean, sure. And a Knicks game on Thursday night. Let's go to Dan in Garden City. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Evan. How are you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
And I'm going to leave that last statement about what you would or wouldn't say to your wife. That's the whole other story there.
Yeah.
but I thought you'd like to hear a story about the one time I went to a U.S. Open, the Golf Open at Bethpage.
Right.
And I was on the 18th hole on the last day, and there was an empty seat between me and this other fellow sitting there. And I said to them, I said, isn't that interesting that there's an empty seat here? He says, no, it's not interesting. He says, that was my wife's seat. She says, we've gone to each of the last 10 years of golf tournaments. And he says, this is her seat, and she just recently passed away. So,
oh, man. Jeez.
That's the way I felt. Oh,
well,
man.
That's very, very sweet, and it makes me feel terrible when I jokingly said I would leave his empty seat next to me at Madison Square Garden. I was doing it just for legroom, not something beautiful and emotional like that.
I had that happen to me at a Ranger playoff game.
Where there was an empty seat next to him?
It wasn't an empty seat. I'm sitting in a seat I bought tickets for. Rangers-Penguins game one a couple years ago was the triple overtime. I'm sitting down during the anthem. The guy sits down next to me, comes running up.
Why would you be sitting during the anthem? What, are you disrespectful or something?
I'm sorry. You sat after the anthem.
Gotcha, okay.
Okay.
Just making sure. I don't know.
You're right. I worded that wrong. Guy turns to me, he goes, you're in my friend's seat. I look down at my ticket. I go, no, I'm not in my seat. I go, where's your friend? He goes, he's dead. That was his seat for years.
Oh, my God.
And I went, what? He's like, I watched him win the cup. He was sitting right next to me, and now he's dead, and his seats are just getting sold. I go, well, did you own the seat and sell it? He goes, no, I had to give up the second seat for a while. I go, so you just yell at people who sit in your dead friend's seat?
Well, that guy's wrong.
I mean, totally wrong. And then I was uncomfortable for six periods, by the way. The game went to triple overtime.
What are you supposed to do?
Exactly. What, you got to get up? There's a ghost sitting there?
I went to the Nets play-in game in 2022, whatever year they had to play that stupid play-in game. Against Cleveland. And I had two tickets, and no one could come with me. I mean, maybe it's because it's the Nets. Nobody could come with me. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to waste the ticket, and I'll have an empty seat next to me. Great. Like, I'll have leg room. And someone just sat down. And I wanted to kick them out. Because I'm like, wait a second. This is not your seat. This is my seat. And I'm not that kind of guy. So I let them sit there, and I was stewing the whole night. Because I'm like, this is not your seat.
Right.
Why are you sitting here? But I don't want to be a jerk to say anything. You have now given me something I can say.
You're going to fake a death?
I think I have to.
Who are you going to make up?
I don't know, but...
Brother. Go brother. You never had a brother, so it'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree with you, because then it's like...
My brother Michael.
Yes, my brother Michael. That's a good one, because then I don't feel guilty about it, because it's not a real person.
And make it real gory. He got hit by a bus actually outside of the Barclays.
Tempting fate here, man.
How do you feel now?
He's tempting fate.
I'm not doing that. All I know is...
He was trying to enjoy a burger.
I'd rather say that than, please get out of my seat. Oh, it's just empty, and I don't want anyone next to me. I'd rather bring up that than just say, I don't want someone next to me. That's the whole problem with why I'm going to take someone Thursday to the Knick game. Because if someone just sits there, like, what am I going to do? I'm going to say, get up.
Can we just recap the last 2 minutes?
Yeah. Tiki is out today.
Evan would rather make up a brother that died getting hit by a bus outside of Barclays Center, then take me to the game. You'd rather create family members and kill them than take your pal?
This story has nothing to do with you.
Of course it does. It has everything to do with me.
No, it has to do with that Knick game I was at that no one was there.
No. You're talking about the upcoming game five, and you're going to make up a dead relative that got hit or got crushed or whatever by a chainsaw instead of bringing me to the game. Just bring me to the game. Just take me. I owe you a hot dog anyway.
How did he take this into him?
Am I wrong, Sean?
I mean, it's hard to say. If Evan is not going to sell the ticket and just say, I want the leg room and I'm going to fake a fake death.
I'm not going to do that for that game.
No.
That's too expensive for leg room. Like, the Knick tickets are way, even as a season ticket holder, they're way too expensive for me to do that. For that net playing game, it wasn't that bad. And I couldn't literally find anyone to come with. But every
Didn't text me, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Did I know you back then?
You just got done an hour ago saying we've known each other a decade.
That's 2022. It's 3 years ago.
Yeah. I wasn't on this show, but I would have gladly went to that game.
I think I did text you, and I think you gave me the I got to wake up early line. I think you were out on that game. Like, I do think I asked you.
I would have went.
Well, I didn't ask you. So.
Well, I would have went because that would have made up for the Bulls games.
Okay.
Why didn't you ask me?
Why would I take you to a Nets play-in game?
You don't like to go to free sporting events.
I know you do.